talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Rick Munn and Nicola Charles now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, it's what day is it? It's Tuesday the 7th of February, 2023. I thank God for this little strip at the top of my computer that tells me the day, the month, and the year and the hour. But otherwise, sometimes I lose track of time. I'm Rick Munn, and Nicola Charles and I, all being well, will be, co-piloting this good ship TNT through the turbulent waters of life for the next 55 minutes. All you lovely listeners out there are welcome to interact with us. I mean, come on, what more do you want? You don't just get to listen to us, but you can interact with us for free. Yes, the phone lines are open if you're feeling brave, or maybe you're drunk. Under the influence, people do things when they're drunk sometimes. They phone people they shouldn't phone, and they say things that they shouldn't say. Of course, we're not advocating alcoholism or any other substance abuse here, but hey, life is life, Nicola, isn't it? People are going to do what people are going to do, and we welcome them no matter what their state of sobriety. What do you say to that?
Absolutely. Yes, freedom all the way. Maybe they could call us from America, and maybe they're having a lovely glass of wine or bubbly celebrating the State of the Union that's so wonderful under Joe Biden. Maybe they could give us a call and let us know how they feel about that.
I've checked out. I can't believe it's a year since the last State of the Union address, Biden's last State of the Union address.
Feels and like the reason 10, why I doesn't it?
Well, the reason I remember it is it was we were covering it here on TNT this time last year, and I remember there was a little audio clip that was played during my show of Biden waffling, and I could only stick it for about 45 seconds. Maybe it was a long clip, and I was like, enough. He was just mumbling and rambling and talking complete and utter bunkum. But yes, America's in a state at the minute. I read an article this morning that apparently migrants that are currently in New York City are actually fleeing from New York City and getting taxpayers paid for buses to Canada because they say it's a filthy, dirty, crime-infested rat hole. And these are people fleeing from the cartels, the drug cartels in Mexico. They say, no, New York, no, we want to keep heading north. Little do they know, should we ruin the surprise, Nicola? They're heading towards Justin Trudeau. They're heading to Trudeau. Let them go. That's what I say. They'll be praying they were back in Mexico before you can say bad hombres. What do you think?
You know what? I'd love to know the state of the real estate market in New York right now, because people were paying tens of millions of dollars. And I always had this feeling in the pit of my stomach that I would never buy a property in New York on Manhattan. I'm sure it's nice in Jersey and the surrounding areas, but, you know, it's such a small island and all those apartments on top of each other. Can you imagine that now? You'd want to be in the penthouse because down below, it's like a ghetto. It's like a movie down there.
Nightmare. It's a nightmare. Yeah. Well, me personally, I was never going to be buying property in Manhattan. Trust me, I could just about afford a hotel room, a budget hotel room there when I went twice. But even when I was walking those main streets of New York City, some areas are very dodgy indeed. I love the city. I love the madness of it and the chaos of it. And when you come from Belfast, where the tallest building is about 100 feet high, and you see the Empire State Building, and you see all these huge buildings, it's quite an assault on the senses. But no, it's not the sort of place that I would want to be permanently based. Exorbitant prices. I mean, finding work, trying to make ends meet, and now the crime problem, and Eric Adams, who is an absolute bona fide grade A listed psychopath as the mayor in that place. And you had de Blasio, and you had all these Cuomo. What is it about New York? It attracts lunatics like a magnet attracts.
Absolutely. Always has.
That's what I'm saying about New York.
Yeah, absolutely. Madonna found fame in New York. That's all I need to know about it. But yeah, Cuomo, I mean, what a psychopath. And they awarded him an Emmy Award for his performance during the pandemic. So that was interesting. But it's just always been, I mean, how are people coping? Because, you know, most of the people that do the small jobs, the menial jobs to get by, they work in restaurants because people like to go out and eat, and it's all about food and service. And, you know, it's the city that never sleeps. Well, these wealthy people, I would hazard a guess, are not really, unless they're going to the really posh restaurants, I would hazard a guess they're not spending an awful lot of time on the streets, not as much as they used to. So what does that mean? All of these people that work in these places would be losing their job. Very, very sad to see.
It is. And don't forget old de Blasio when he was pimping the vax hard. He was pictured sitting at a table, stuffing his face with a burger and stuffing his face with fries, going, this is so good. This is free. This is what you can get if you get your vaccine. While he was munching away on the McDonald's. Horrible. It's beyond, it's even worse than theatre. People would say that's just theatre. That's just a pantomime. It's not. I've been to pantomimes when I was a kid and they were better acted and better cast in the COVID theatre, the like of which de Blasio and Cuomo and Eric Adams and all those people were a part of. But anyway, that's just by way of introduction. This is TNT Radio, by the way, in case someone has stumbled upon us by mistake and they're thinking, what is this place? Why are they talking about burgers and de Blasio and Canada and Justin Trudeau? Who are these people? Well, we are TNT Radio and we are here to simply tell it like it is without the external influence of, how would you say, corporate backers who want us to pipe a certain narrative. And listeners, in about 5 minutes, our lines will open. If anything we say prompts you or rings a chord with you, you want to tell us about it, you can, or just simply get something off your chest, the option will be there. But we'll be right back with a chat with our good friend Darren very shortly, in a nanosecond, even just after this break. Please don't go away.
Agreeing on the fundamental.
We can't trust any politician.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Darren, this Turkish earthquake business, this horror story coming in from Turkey and Syria. Let's not forget Syria here, because there seems to be some focus on Turkey. Syria has also been wrecked by this. What's the latest on that one?
The latest is they've just had another earthquake in Turkey this morning, 5.4 Richter scale event. So not as strong as the 7.5 and 7.8 magnitude earthquakes that they had yesterday. I've got a latest update. It's the worst earthquake since 1939 to hit the region. The agency initially measured the quake at 7.4 magnitude, but it was later revised to 7.7. There was dozens of aftershocks yesterday. Another earthquake, not an aftershock, this morning has been recorded. Turkey is located in a seismically active part of the world. Monday's was the strongest in its history, with more than 1,100 people have been recorded dead so far, and hundreds of people have been injured. In Syria, the health ministry said it recorded over 400 deaths and thousands of injured people. So this is in the northern part of Aleppo, Hama, Latakia, and Tartus. So Syria is not getting a massive amount of mention at the moment, but it's affected that entire region. There's been some crucial infrastructure damage in both Turkey and Syria. The quake has damaged key infrastructure in Turkish, in the Turkish Kilis province. Gas pipelines have been ruptured. They're on fire. You can see footage of this online. The gas operator Butter said it cut the flow, but pressurized gas in the pipelines continues to feed these fires. In Syria, an oil refinery has gone up in flames and had to be shut down, and will be shut down for at least 48 hours as they sort that problem out. But also some heritage sites. So the Gaziantep Castle, a hilltop fort located in the center of the city of Gaziantep, was heavily damaged by the quake. And many nations have now jumped to the assistance. So Greece, Germany, India, Israel, Russia, Serbia, UK, US, they were all now sending teams in and offering assistance. And Vladimir Putin offered a message of condolence. So that was very nice to him. But actually, the Russians are also standing by and are offering assistance too. So that's the latest situation in Turkey. And like I said, they've had another either a very large aftershock or another unique earthquake has been recorded there this morning, and buildings, thousands of them, have come down. Go on social media. You won't see buildings just collapsing. There's plenty of that going on in Turkey at the moment. So it's a bit of a sorry situation over there.
Gosh, terrible. Yeah, I've actually lived and worked in Istanbul, and I have really great affection for Turkey and the Turkish people. So that's absolutely heartbreaking. In Syria, of course, if they're feeling it a bit less than Turkey, I'm sure it's still devastating to them, because as a country, they're already suffering. And yeah, I just wish them all well. And it's just so horrible. And I hope that we manage to find some people, but it's just so tricky, isn't it? If they've got gas mains that are catching fire. Yeah, horrible. I just don't know what to say about it.
I saw footage yesterday as well of a humongous dam down in that area, and there's a huge crack that has appeared right across top of the dam. Obviously, if that breaks, and it's not sensationalism here, this is literally engineering. Mm-hmm. If that dam does break, and let's face it, with the pressure of all that water pushing against an already compromised dam wall in a valley, if that thing breaks, not only will it cause massive chaos in terms of physical damage, but the loss of life from that also could be crazy. Yeah. And I'm sure, I mean, living there at the moment, I've seen some of the footage coming in from there, and it's absolutely horrific. And I echo what you said there, Nicola. I've spent a little bit of time in Turkey as well, down in the southeastern part of the country, in a place called Antalya/Alanya, down in the Turkish Riviera. And it is an absolutely beautiful place, and the people were fantastic from the various visits that I paid to that area. So yeah, heart goes out to them. Let's hope people rally around them and whip up billions to send out to help people that are actually suffering, the way they did with missiles and calls for jet bombers in Ukraine. Let's hope it's the same level of concern, and let's hope we're going to hear people standing with Turkey the way they stood with Zelensky. Just simply, they need help, and they need it right now, I would say, more than Zelensky needs help and assistance, which he's getting billions of poured in by NATO and various other donors around the world. So, Darren, thank you for the update on that. Sadly, it's a grim update, but one that we'll have to keep our eye on anyway, because no doubt this one's not over yet. So that big salute to Darren for bringing us the lowdown on that one. This is TNT Radio. The lines are open. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
You should hear what Timothy Shea is talking about.
The left are of Satan. Literally, all they do is they tear down, destroy. Look at anything they've quote-unquote built. It's never been built back better. It's always been worse. And one of my theses is that this whole COVID scamdemic is designed to divide us. Public support for doctors has plunged by double digits, between the transgender mutilation surgeries, between the COVID jabs. Is that by design?
Absolutely, this is by design. There's actually that old adage, divide and conquer, right? If you want to conquer the masses, you have to divide them. Well, the basic structures of our entire American foundation has been, number one, the family, and then probably church, and then organizations beyond that. And they have done a phenomenal job at creating division in all of those categories.
Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in.
They trust TNT Radio
and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Our lines are now open. Call Nicola Charles and Rick Munn now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yeah, just checking the chat there. A big hello to everyone that's currently populating our live chat. And they're also expressing revulsion and horror at the events that are taking place in Turkey and Syria at the moment. Jock has asked the question, are we now going to be taking in Turkish and Syrian refugees? I know from experience, Jock, Northern Ireland has been taking in Syrian refugees for years. I worked for a large housing organization before I came to work for TNT, and I know this firsthand. They've been processing Syrian refugees over here for a very, very long time. I can't speak for the rest of England or the rest of the UK or the rest of Ireland, but certainly that has been ongoing here. But there probably will be an uptick in that one as well. And there I said, I'm sorry to say this, Nicola, but the old cynic in me says there's a lot of people will use this as an opportunity to piggyback off this disaster to make their way seeking, claiming asylum and refugee status from these places. And like the people flooding into Ireland, maybe we'll have no way of knowing if they're legitimate or not. It's just a real mess.
Yeah, look, knowing Turkish people as well as I do, I used to spend many months a year there. I don't think they're going to want to flee to other countries and use. No. I don't think they're going to use it as an opportunity to flee. So I would be suspicious of families coming because they will want to rebuild their country. They love their country. You know, they already have two sides to their country. People may not know they have a Muslim side and a Christian side, and they live harmoniously next to each other. Istanbul is Christian on one side and Muslim on the other. And they are totally harmonious and everyone lives together and it's all blended and it's marvelous. I would suggest, my advice would be, because people who will jump on this are these giant organizations that, and I won't name them, but they go in and they say, we're going to take life-saving supplies and all of the donations go to the greedy executives. So my advice would be, if you do want to send any substantial amount of money, contact your local Turkish community and they will tell you which organization will make sure the money goes directly to them. But yes, Rick, of course, politically, look, this, you know, I'm sure they're going to use this to distract from the terrible State of the Union address. They're using the balloon to distract from Marjorie Taylor Greene, highlighting all the money that's been wasted in Ukraine. So yes, it's a sad state of affairs, but it does seem, it's pretty obvious now. I didn't think this a couple of years ago, but as soon as there's a disaster, then politicians jump on it, and it's a great way for them to look sort of kind and caring, and they'll come out and virtue signal. But I still don't believe a word they say.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But yeah, sadly, this is a great opportunity for many, many people with evil intentions to further their own agendas off the back of this disaster. But we'll see how it unfolds. No doubt they'll show their hand in the coming days and weeks. They won't keep it hidden forever.
No.
A little story there that popped up this morning that I saw, and we've been talking about this on and off for the last week or two, in terms of men competing against women in sporting events. And thankfully, a surfing legend, Bethany Hamilton. Now, it's fantastic in one way, and it's tragic in another way. Let me try and explain what I mean by this. So surfing legend Bethany Hamilton slammed the World Surf League over allowing biological men to compete and that she won't compete as long as that's the policy. That is absolutely fantastic and nothing but a huge salute to Bethany Hamilton for that. However, here's the problem. The way I see it, Nick, Liz, she is going to be out because of this. She is potentially going to lose revenue on her position and doing what she loves best because of this. The reason is, for this to be an effective stance, it has to involve all the women competitors in all these events. Otherwise, the men still compete, the women are still accepting it, and those that are taking the stand, like absolute troopers, like Bethany Hamilton, she is effectively putting herself on the sidelines as a mark of integrity, and for that, I have nothing but respect for her. However, she's ultimately going to suffer for this in terms of doing what she loves to do, which is to compete competitively, maybe lose income, while the other women, sorry to say, facilitate this by standing with the men rather than saying, you know what, she's got a point. We're not playing this game either. That would nip this in the bud, Nicola. So it's great to see somebody taking a stand. Maybe she'll be the touch paper that lights this or the fuse that ignites this. What do you think?
I hope so, because it does sadden me that women are almost sort of betraying women. And one of the reasons Bethany is such an icon is because she actually, you know, she's a real fighter. She had her arm bitten off by a tiger shark. So, you know, she goes out there and competes. She doesn't complain. She doesn't, you know, say, oh, I'm disabled. She goes out there and she's, you know, she's just as good as everyone else. And now here, after surviving a tiger shark ripping off her arm and going back in the water, she's now going to be sacrificed on the altar of woke? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think we're reaching the back of this now, because it's simply not fair. And it's like the whole prison system thing. Look, if we have to start a third gender competition or transgender competition, then that's what we're going to have to do. Because I always say that one person's success shouldn't be at the cost of another person's, because that's not equity. And they talk about equity a lot. So where's the equity for women if men are just entering our sport? So yeah, it's almost like, you know, you wouldn't allow a creature, you wouldn't allow a gorilla to go into a man's weightlifting competition and go, oh, yay, clap, clap, clap. The gorilla can lift more than the weightlifter. Yeah, of course he can. He's a gorilla. You know,
exactly, and he has a huge biological advantage. That's why there is separation of gender when it comes to sporting events. For certain events, for example, men have a biological advantage. For other events, women have a biological advantage. So it would be wrong for one to step into the other. And even in case someone says, oh, you're being sexist here, I'm not, because even in, for example, take boxing as a sport, Nicola, you have various weight classes in boxing. So you've got featherweights, you've got bantamweight, you've got lightweight, you've got featherweight, you've got cruiserweight, you've got heavyweight, you've got middleweights. Why? Because those men are all different sizes. They're all still men, but the bigger guys, the Mike Tysons of this world, can punch harder than the Barry McGuigans of this world. That's why you'll never see a lightweight boxer fighting in a championship against a heavyweight boxer. And in fact, let me say this, this is how ludicrous it is. This would be like a heavyweight boxer, okay, saying, you know what, I identify as a lightweight boxer. I identify as a lightweight boxer, so I want to go down 7 weight divisions and pummel a little, small, scrawny boxer. People would say that's madness, that's insanity, you have a huge advantage. But that's exactly what's happening in women's sports. They're letting biological men come in and compete. They wouldn't let it happen in men's sports. They wouldn't let people come across weight divisions to fight. There would be an absolute hell about that. But yet it's acceptable for women. It is disgusting. It is lunacy, Nicola. This is bona fide insanity and lunacy that we're seeing. And the Olympic committees are accepting it. And this business in surfing, they're following the Olympic committee's leads. Shame on the Olympic committee. That's what I say. Shame on them.
Shame on them. Shame on them. It's really unfair, because sport is meant to be fair and sport is not meant to be political. And they've politicized sport. This is all political. This isn't about men going into women's sports. This is something else. This is the social engineering of society to emasculate men to make them more female. This is one of the ways they can attract this whole transitioning or identifying as a woman to men, is by saying, we'll allow you to do that, and then you can enter women's sports and you can get a gold medal and you can win. So of course everyone's jumping on board. And as I said before, with the swimmer guy, he'd had an abysmal record against guys, and he wasn't going to make it into any national team. So he thought, oh, I know, I'll go and compete against the girls. So this is all political, and I can't believe these people don't understand that they're being used by their governments to fulfill an agenda. But hey, they can't see it. But I'm 100% behind Bethany Hamilton. And if you are too, go on her social media and tell her that you support her, because she really does deserve it.
And yeah, she is an absolute warrior. She's standing there, or she's making a video clip about this, and she has an arm missing. She was mauled by a tiger shark. She hasn't complained about it. She hasn't said, well, I only want to compete against people with one arm because I have a disadvantage with my balance. No, she's just a trooper. She's a warrior. And listen, if you're a female surfer out there, I don't know if we have any female surfer listeners. Maybe we have hundreds of them. I don't know. But listen, shame on you guys if you let her stand alone in this. You need to rally around her, and you need to get behind her, and you need to let her be a pioneer if needs be, but please follow her lead, because this can end today if you all stand together. Nicola, that's the key to all of this. Mass coordinated non-compliance. They haven't got a mission of enforcing their nonsense policies for as long as people say no and refuse to buy in. That's the key. So women, get behind Bethany, or shame on you all. Let me just say, shame on you all.
Yeah, and it's just more very calm, peaceful civil disobedience. It's like it's like the people of Oxford driving over the bollards. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when they tell us, you know, you're in a 20-minute city, then you're in a 15-minute city, then you've got 500 meters and you can't go further. And by the way, don't bother going to the supermarket because a drone's going to deliver your food. They're pushing for this. They probably can't believe that it's got this far down the track with men being women in sport, with bollards, with these 20-minute city stories going out. And you're going to eat bugs. They can't believe what we've, you know, they love this word, don't they? Resilience. They probably can't believe that we've been so resilient. I mean, we're at the point of satire where we're laughing at everything that they suggest. However, they're still moving forward with this. So each time they try and push the boundaries, like here with surfing, we need to kick up a massive fuss and tell them we're not going to put up with it, because otherwise what? We're all going to end up shills like those performers at the Grammys in their satanic outfits, you know, kneeling for the money. Yep. We can't become like that. We cannot let these people win. So get in touch with Bethany Hamilton on her social media and tell her that you're behind her and that you heard about her on TNT Radio.
Amen. Preach it, I say. That's the message of the day. Get behind Bethany and support her, because listen, and you hit the nail on the head, we don't need to be taking to the streets with bottles and sticks and guns and knives and get violent. If we all just band together, and that's what they're afraid of, if we unite against their tyranny, they haven't got the means to enforce it. They haven't got the manpower to enforce it. They haven't got the infrastructure to enforce it. But as long as they can keep people divided, then they can conquer us. United we stand. And divided we fall. It's an age-old adage, and it applies more than ever at this particular time. We're going to take a real quick news break right now. And just following on from this story, Nicola, let's look at an example of how they can't actually enforce their policies when enough people, tens of thousands of people, get together and say, you know what, I'm not going to pay your fine. I don't care what you do. I'm not going to pay your fine. Let's look at an example from Birmingham, England, when we come back here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
I have some even more exciting news.
TNT Radio News.
Darren Metzer here with a look at your TNT Radio News headlines. Turkish authorities have confirmed that the death toll from the devastating earthquake in Turkey and Syria has doubled to at least 3,500 people. Meanwhile, tens of thousands of nurses and ambulance staff walked off the job in the UK in the largest ever walkout in the 75-year history of the NHS. And the US military suspects the Chinese surveillance balloon that drifted across its airspace last week may have been carrying explosives in its huge payload.
TNT Radio wants to hear from you.
Call Rick Mann and Nicola Charles now.
From the US and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the UK, call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, just looking at another story here that's been highlighted to do with Birmingham in the UK. More than 30,000 motorists a month. This is fantastic. And if this doesn't prove what we've been saying, this is an actual case study, Nicola, of what we've been advocating here. Peaceful, non-compliance in numbers. And that's the key, Nicola, numbers. If just you and I decide not to pay a fine, it's no good. But if 30,000 people like us to say, hell no, we're not going to pay that, all of a sudden we completely clog up their system. So there's more than 30,000 motorists per month, not just 30,000, 30,000 a month, refusing to pay Clean Air Zone fines in Birmingham in England. And they have said, we cannot process this. We cannot chase this. There are too many of those people. Does that not illustrate the point that if there's numbers, and we do outnumber them quite significantly, if enough of us band together, Nicola, and say no, they just can't come after us all. They don't have the manpower, they don't have the time, and they don't have the resources. So what's going to happen? Their system clogs down, and eventually, I guarantee you, they'll drop that if people don't pay those fines. This is the key.
Of course. They don't have the resources because everyone's sick from the jab, or they've lost their job with these agencies because of mandates, or they just don't want to work there anymore. And they say, oh, it's a huge 63% that's not paid. Do you want me to tell you what that 63% is? That's what we call, when I lived in America, that is the silent majority. And that's what we all are, right? Because when governments come out and they tell you, oh, 95% of people are jabbed. You're weird. You're in the 5% that didn't do it. I never believe those numbers anyway. And so here we are now. Look, this is probably an understatement as well, because this has been released to the media. It might not be 63%. It might be 93% of people who haven't paid. Just ignore anything to do with climate, anything to do with zoning. You know, if someone pulled me over on the side of the road at the end of the road, because I'm pretty rural here, and said, "Where are you going?" I would literally say, none of your damn business. I'm not telling you where I'm going. I'm not legally bound to tell you where I'm going. I won't tell you when I'm coming back, and I won't be telling you who I'm meeting while I'm out either. That's it. That's the end of the conversation. Arrest me for what? Not telling you where I'm going. No, don't do it. Non-compliance is the only way. It's fantastic.
Isn't it? And what they're saying is, and this is the council's own words here, they said they've been overwhelmed by the number of motorists failing to comply. And there's the key word, overwhelmed. We have to overwhelm them. More than 50,000 drivers still being penalized a month. And listen to this, collecting all the cash has proved to be an impossibility. That's Yay. From the horse's mouth itself, from the council's mouth itself. So that's a good news story.
Council's given up. They said they've given up.
They can't enforce it. And listen, that's not just Birmingham Council. That will be any local authority and any council. And we're not saying to people to go out and willfully break the law here in case anybody's getting their underpants in a twist. But what we are saying is that these fines and these cleaner zones and this whole green agenda is lunacy. There's no basis in actual science. So you can't say, you know what? I ain't playing ball with that. And neither's my friend, neither's my neighbour, my mother or my father. We actually have an Englishman on the line.
Well,
we've got an Englishman on the line right now. We've got Spencer from Portsmouth. Spencer, what's on your mind this morning?
Hi, Spencer.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are
good,
you?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, good. Yeah, really good. Just follow up on that what you just talked about there, Rick, whilst I was waiting on the line. Yeah. I don't think people realise, but these sort of forthcoming low emission, this isn't why I rang, but just a quick point, these forthcoming sort of low emission zones and ULEZ and low traffic neighbourhoods, etc., there's about 30, 40 UK cities already earmarked for this stuff. And all we're getting in the papers is a bit of a drip feed, is things like Bath and Oxford and various Birmingham. Yeah. We're getting little stories about these various places, but actually,
posh ones
about
first.
40 different cities here. Yeah, well, I don't know why it's those particularly, but yeah, you're right, yeah. But there are about 40 cities, and so I noticed just before Christmas, a lot of signage going up in the city centre about low emissions. They've been already kind of halfway through a trial on, penalties for older vehicles, higher emission vehicles, that kind of thing. So it's a drip, slow effect, you know, just increase the width of the zone, change the parameters on what is and what isn't allowed. But I think people think it's someone else's problem. Actually, it's going to happen in about 40 major cities in the UK within the next couple of years. They're just not really talking about it.
Worldwide.
Anyway, that's not why I rang. the reason I rang was there was some really bad news yesterday. I don't know if you've watched the guy or followed the guy. There's a guy called Mark Steen, who's a broadcaster for GB News.
He's fantastic, Mark Steen.
He happens to be absolutely hilarious, as well as being doing, you know, an amazing job for both vaccine injured victims of grooming gangs. He's been a completely lone voice on these things, on the closest thing to, you know, mainstream media that we have in the UK. The poor guy had a double heart attack before Christmas. It's all kept quite quiet. And what GB News have done, just for anybody who doesn't know, they have altered his contract before he could return to work, making him accountable and responsible for paying any fines from Ofcom, but also preventing him at the same time any ability to answer any questions from Ofcom. So essentially his employer will say, no, yes, it's his fault, and yes, you may fine him. So they won't, they refuse to stand up for him. So obviously he's decided, you can poke that when the sun doesn't shine. He's there. So it's a bit of a sad day, I think, because he wasn't
very able, for a broadcaster. You know,
It was really break. I thought he was kind of breaking through, but it brings on to my point, which I just wanted to make, which is, do you think that the likes of GB News, and dare I say it, the UK's favourite talk radio station, TNT, do you think that the likes of these outlets are actually potentially not in their own mind sometimes, but just, you know, ostensibly controlled opposition in a respect that they are allowed to exist on the basis that they are able to act as almost a slow release safety valve for dissent,
right.
I.e. to keep people satisfied in that something's being done or something's being said, but actually they have really kind of limited effect, and they're allowed to exist. And when you get to someone like Mark Steve, who really was pushing the boundaries considering the platform he was on, when they get to a certain level, that's when, you know, they're no longer allowed to operate.
Yeah. That Mark Stein actually held sort of a town hall as well with people before his heart attack. So I'm sure you remember that, Spencer, last year, where he actually gave the vaccine injured a voice, and that was televised as well. I don't know how on earth he managed to get them. Yeah, I don't know how on earth he managed to sort of push that over the line. Look, I don't think people are controlled opposition. I think I worry with politicians that they're some of the good politicians, because I'm sort of becoming fans of theirs, because I'm like, yay, they're speaking out. I do worry that they're controlled opposition, because we have to have some politicians that we rely on. With regards to media like TNT and GB News and people like that, it's not controlled opposition, that I can assure you. I wouldn't be here if it was. And it's not a slow release thing. It's a massive boiling over, right? You cannot stop this. It started off as a tsunami. You cannot ever stop the truth. So the truth is a tsunami, and that's pushing forward. And unfortunately, because they've been censoring us for so long, it's turned into a tidal wave. So yeah, it does feel like you've got these outlets that are starting to bring the truth and talk about it, and you think, well, why weren't they there before? Well, we weren't needed before, Spencer. We weren't needed because prior to 2020 and 2021, we didn't realize that everything we were being told by governments was a lie. Would you agree with that, Rick?
Yeah, this whole business of, you know, who is and who's not controlled opposition is one station, government sponsored and funded. Is TNT dodgy? Is it controlled opposition? Here's the way I look at it. If you expose yourself to a media source, you know, are you looking to that place as your sole source of information? If you are, let me say, you would be a very foolish person.
No.
So if you're simply looking at TNT alone and saying they're going to be my sole source of truth, I would say you're being foolish. If you're looking at GB News and saying they're my sole source of truth, I would say you're being foolish. You should be able to pick and discern in yourself, well, I have a bad feeling about this one, or I avoid this one. When it comes to GB News, for example, my own take on it is I've never watched it. A lot of people say, well, I only watch it for Mark Steen, or I only watch it for Neil Oliver. I don't even watch it for those people. Personally speaking, I go to the Lick of UK column. I listen to other presenters on TNT Radio. That's just me personally. And of course, in any debate, I've been called controlled opposition. Nicola, you've been called controlled opposition. TNT's been labelled as a controlled opposition station. It's not. I trust me. Please trust me on this one.
I'm laughing.
It is not. But yet.
Spencer, you're making your breakfast. Spencer, stop making your breakfast.
It's like a Greek wedding. I think he's smashing the dishes.
Yeah. No, please let me have a word. I don't want to.
Yes.
Have a word. You have a word, Spencer. Go on.
Yeah. I don't want to.
No, I don't misunderstand you, by the way. I'm just answering the question. I know you weren't insinuating that we were, but I'm just saying people should.
No way in the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all good. It's all good.
It's a multicolored fabric, there, Spencer. Listen to us all.
People get. Anyway, thanks, guys. I was just making my coffee.
I can hear. Thanks, Spencer.
Well, listen, go and enjoy it. Go put your feet up and sip on that coffee while you listen to our dulcet tones over the airwaves. Spencer, thank you very much, sir, for calling in and for leaving information. Yeah, this is a very hot topic, this whole business of controlled opposition. Listen, I know, I know it when I see it. But to be honest with you, I'm focused on what I'm doing. I'm focused on my output right now, and I'm cutting off any external sources from my inputs that would, how would you say, taint my thinking and taint my reasoning on it. And to me, Nicola, you can spot them a mile away. You can spot the controlled opposition a mile away. And I just avoid them like the plague and focus on putting out my own, as sound and information as I can and with a little bit of integrity. And I'm not perfect either, by the way. But yeah, no matter what you do, you're going to get labeled controlled opposition by someone. So just do the best you can and stay true. That's
yeah. Look, I think if you listen to particularly TNT radio, you know, over a number of hours, as I do sometimes when I'm busy, I think it would be a bit reckless to suggest it's controlled opposition because people are speaking so much truth. But, you know, there are people that I've admired and watched for years and years and years who I still watch occasionally just because they're seasoned professionals, people like Tucker Carlson. Now, I'm not saying that he's giving us any kind of misinformation, but what Tucker does do is he will dedicate an enormous amount of time to stories that are very sort of dramatic, like the balloon, and not focus on stories that are important, like Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about where these billions of dollars have gone in Ukraine and there's no record of it and we don't know where it is, and billions of dollars being spent on woke agendas. Now, you know, that balloon happened at the time that she was being able to ask all those questions. So then I look at someone like Tucker and I get a bit annoyed because I think, you know, it's not so much a controlled opposition thing. It's just, you know, you're talking about stuff, you're talking about it over here on the left and we want you to focus over here on the right. But of course, he's got editors and producers and, you know, whereas it's very much collaborative at TNT, let me tell you, we all talk about the reasons why we should be focusing on stories during our shows. And it's just all of us producing it together, isn't it? So from where I'm sitting, Spencer, we're not controlled opposition.
No, we're like the Manson family of radio. That's what I'm going to say. We're like the Manson family.
Absolutely. Like, around the campfire, working it out.
Around the campfire, plotting our next move. No, I'm only joking, by the way. But anyway, you got to laugh too. Listen, I try and inject a little dark humor into what we do because it does get very heavy at times and we do need to have a little bit of sense of humor. So listen, but listen, if you're listening to TNT and you do think, hey, I don't like this guy, Mon, I don't like this girl, Charles, you know, I don't like Murray in the studio, I don't like what they're doing. Well then, listen, with all due respect, just don't listen to us. I'm sure there's a ton of other places that you could be listening to and getting something from them. And by the same token, if you don't like other outlets, listen to more of what you do like. And that's the same for all of us, by the way. And that's the beauty of life. Variety is the spice of life. So what's beautiful and lovely to some person might be disgusting and repugnant to somebody else. But one way or another, you'll find a place that you feel comfortable with, and hopefully you guys out there are comfortable listening to us, which I'm sure you are because you keep coming back and leaving nice comments, some not so nice, but listen, that's life, that's just life.
You don't take read the those to
and
be
the smooth. No, I don't read the nasty ones about you. No, that no one ever says anything bad about me, of course. It's always about you, Nicola. Oh, I'm only joking.
Thanks,
it's the opposite, by the way. I'm the black sheep of TNT radio. Literally, I always wear black and I'm having a rub-on effect here. Murray's wearing black. Nicola, I'm hoping you're sitting in a black shirt or something that.
I am.
You have to follow the dress code because it's a cult, you know what I mean? But anyway, we'll have to come back. We'll be back after this short break here. Listeners, if we haven't frightened you off, you're welcome to join us again in about 2 minutes here on TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
I was back in MAGA country last week. That's right, sweet home Chicago. Temps dipped into the single digits, so of course, at 3 a.m., I headed for Subway, hoping to meet up with my fellow Trump supporters. Alas, there was no one there. How could that be? I thought Chicago was MAGA country. Although that is a travesty of a mockery of a sham of a mockery of two travesties of a mockery of a sham, what isn't are the 15 shot and the one killed in Chicago over the weekend. Single-digit temps do not deter Chicago's gangland thugs. When is Black Mayor Lori Lightfoot going to realize that Black Lives Matter and end the black-on-black violence in America's second city? From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Messages for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The conversation continues with Rick Mon and Nicola Charles on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yeah, here's something else that you just said, Nicola, that made me think as well in terms of sometimes you get, you know, feedback. People say, could you talk to this person or could you cover this topic? And it would be great if we did have the time or even the connections to connect with everybody that people wanted us to talk to. But we'll have to make a call when it comes to the content of what we're doing. Like, you and I will communicate the day before and say, look, here's a good story. What do you think about this one? And we'll fire things back with each other. And we'll say, yeah, this is relevant. It's up to date. It's breaking news. And then we'll talk about it. Other people on different platforms, they would use a podcasting format. They'll take a topic, for example, and they'll talk for maybe 2 hours about it, maybe 3 hours about it, which is brilliant as well. So we're trying to find a little bit of a balance here, and even looking at different things that I've highlighted that I would like to talk to you with about with you today, and probably vice versa. I haven't even got really started on any of them.
No,
there's
I
about
know.
10 or 15 stories that I've highlighted here that literally time is our biggest enemy, I would say, in this business. And I've said this for a long time. If we had the stamina and we had the vocal cords for it and we had, you know, 10 hours a day, I would say we could bang through a lot of stories in the course of a day and cover just about everything. But we'll have to make these calls, a bit like Tucker Carlson, where he's like, you know what, I do have a producer and I do have an editorial team, but I want to talk about this. And we're like, well, you know what, and I agree with you, I would be covering something else. But then again, old Tucker could be listening to you and I going, well, you know, Rick's talking about the Manson family
he
and he's talking
me,
about...
Oh, of course he does. Listens to me. I've broken stories that's turned up on Tucker the next day, and I'm like, how dare you? I do a Greta Thunberg. Well, how dare you?
Well, I don't think I'm on Tucker's radar just now. I'm happy to be on my little radar right now. But you get the point. We would like to do so much more, I think, but time is our enemy here. So I think what we're trying to do is squeeze as much as we possibly can into the short times that we have. Because, you know,
Rick. Go on. I have one more thing to say about that fine story that we did before the break, and I'll do it really, really quickly. It says here that drivers appealing the fines, half of them think it was just unfair and the other half refused to pay and wouldn't say why. And because of this, the fines have been cancelled. So all those people that raced out and paid those fines, everyone else who refused, their fines got cancelled. So this is also just on a purely selfish financial level why it's best for civil disobedience and to say no to this nonsense, because you're being charged and everyone else that did the same offence are not.
Yeah, exactly. So it's keeping everything into perspective and balance. And by the way, I'm just having a look at the live chat there. Spencer, he's popped onto the live chat. He says, I'm defining controlled up differently. It's not a conscious thing. I'm not saying TNT is knowingly controlled or Nick or Rick. Absolutely, that's not the way I took what you had said there. You were making a valid point. Is it possible that various stations could be this or they could be that? Of course, anything's possible these days, but the point is that we each have to make our own individual call about that. And where some people would say TNT's controlled up, other people would say you're crazy, they're not. Other people would say GB News is controlled up, other people would say no, it's not, you're crazy. So find out what works for you and stick with it, and zone out all the stuff that you believe is negative or detrimental to what you're doing, and take it from there. So yes, no wires crossed there. And Nicola, and Mazzy's left a lovely comment for me, by the way. She says, you never keep me away, Rick. As long as you're on TNT, I'm here. Thank you, Mazzy. It's nice to have at least one fan out there, and I have maybe two or three, which is nice. It's just nice. So a big salute to you, Mazzy, and everybody else that's leaving comments on the chat this morning. Here's a crazy one for you, Nicola. You're not going to believe this one. This is a little bit of black tongue-in-cheek humor, but also deadly serious. The Church of England, right, brace yourself for this one. The Church of England is now looking at human composting, right? Human composting.
Oh my God.
Bishops could establish consultation groups to access theological considerations as the church looks to meet its net zero target. I kid you not. They're looking at cremating people and burying them in the ground as non-eco-friendly bodily disposal methods, okay? So the church could consider human composting at Christian funerals to help meet its net zero target. Bishops are blah, blah, blah. Currently, people in the UK can only legally choose to have cremation or burial But human composting and water cremation, while not used in Britain, are increasingly popular around the world amid a desire for environmentally conscious funerals. So what does that mean? You just let the body lie on the ground and watch it decompose in real time? Or you do an Osama bin Laden, you get the Marines to allegedly take his body out to sea and dump him over with a lead weight around his ankle?
No.
What's the world coming to that the church is even entertaining this, Nicola?
Well, I've got a couple of things to say on this. The first thing is, I do hear you all screaming at your phones or your laptops, Soylent Green. Yes, I do know about the movie Soylent Green. But the way they do it is, I'm going to create a mental picture for you here because I'm a writer. Let me do this for you, Rick. So, you know, when you're driving through the countryside or you're woken up at some point in the morning and you hear that god-awful noise like someone having their leg shaved off, and the wood chipper is there and the wood chipper is grinding up those trees that the tree surgeons have chopped down, that I am told. And if you've ever had a dog bone sliced long ways at the butcher's for your dog so they can get the marrow bone out, and you hear that sound, there's a sound effect for you. So imagine that combined with a wood chipper. That's the sound of the Soylent Green of the Church of England, and I'm pretty sure the Catholic Church will be on board as well. That's the sound of us being ground up. An old granddad will be spread across the church grounds and the local parks, and we become little wood chips of fertilizer, and I just hope my dog doesn't come along and pick up one of the pieces in his mouth. I think it's an absolutely revolting, disgusting idea. And the only other thing I want to say about this, I have to swallow before I say this because I'm just in shock, is that it didn't take much. It didn't take much in society to just push human beings over the edge into utter diabolical madness. They've all gone quite mad. It just a little tiny, a little blow, a little push, and we've fallen off into absolute diabolical madness. You should all be ashamed of yourself, and you should threaten to leave any church that wants to wood chip you and spray you across the lawn. Revolting.
I'm sorry. I would love that, actually. I would love it. It would be so much more exciting and interesting to attend a funeral if you knew the deceased was going to be put through a wood chipper, especially if they did it inside the church during the service. So in Northern Ireland, what happens is everyone gets together in the church and the organ's playing, you know, some morose tune. Everybody's sitting looking at their mobile phones while the deceased's at the front. Then the minister or the priest comes up and gives a eulogy about a man or a woman that they've probably never even met in their lives, talking about how they were a good person. Then the mother and father gets up, says a word, and then they carry the coffin down to the funeral, into the grave, and chuck on the dirt, and that's that. That is a stretch for most people. They're just there to pay their respects. But how much more interesting would it be if there was a wood chipper on the altar and the priest said, right, we're going to put him through now, feet first, and the old, and there was plastic sheets up everywhere. That's just my sick old sense of humor. But you know what? I might even start attending more funerals. It might get me back in the church again, Nicola, if they started wood chipping the congregation. Mm. But here's the thing, right? And we talked about New York at the beginning of this little stint, believe it or not, human composting, a process in which microbes convert a deceased body into compost, is not legal in the UK, but guess what? The process was legalized in New York City in January.
It's like a worm farm. Okay.
It's just like a worm farm. And weren't we talking about the insanity of the Big Apple? Weren't we talking about how it was a crazy old place? If you want to turn yourself into compost, New York City is the place to do it. You know, old Blue Eyes would be spinning in his grave when he talked about spreading the news. He's leaving today. He wants to be a part of it. New York, New York. You could be a part of New York also, but in the form of human compost. How things have changed since the good old days. Huh?
I hear that New York stinks to high heaven. Like, it's just rancid, rotten fish, like the worst smell ever already. So maybe people wouldn't even notice if you could smell dead bodies rotting away in a worm farm. But I find this whole concept really strange and really quite, it's very much like a horror film. It's very dark. It's very satanic. And, you know, it doesn't really help much with, you know, the conspiracy theories about the globalists being Satanists. Because when a person is cremated, and I want to be cremated, you are returned to ash, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We've been told that for hundreds of years. Obviously, that's going out the window. Ash, that ash, whether it's from a person, an animal, a tree, anything, that ash is a phenomenal, phenomenal fertilizer and compost for your gardens, for any local parks. You can buy ash to make your garden grow. This is why the whole don't have a wood fire or a coal fire, because ash comes out the chimney. That's actually good for the environment, so it doesn't make any sense. So why do we need to do this composting, chopping up and spreading of body parts when the ash that we already do from cremation is already a fertilizer? Rick, it doesn't make any sense. It's very dark.
I know. And people, like, they put it in a pot and they set it on the mantelpiece. You know, that's mother up there. She's always with us. And instead of throwing her across the garden and fertilizing the carrots and the potatoes, they keep her on the mantelpiece. What a waste of perfectly good ash. For me personally, I don't want to be cremated and I don't want to be buried. I've told my wife I want to be stuffed. I want to be taken to a taxidermist and stuffed. And the more I think about it, I then want her to ship my stuffed carcass out to Brisbane in Australia, and I want to be positioned in the corner of Studio One, looking permanently over Murray's shoulder as he continues to do his job. What do you think about that? How did we ever get to talking about being stuffed or being composted or being sprinkled across the vegetable patch, Nicola? This is life on live radio. This is TNT Radio, and we make no apologies for it. We just got to do what we got to do, don't we, to get through this day? What do you say?
We're just responding to legitimate stories that the mainstream media is plying us with in 2023. I don't think I've got up a single day in the last at least 6 months without looking at the first three stories and saying out loud, you've got to be kidding. And this is just another one. And the fact that the church is involved is just hilarious. But I would rather not meet your stuffed body in TNT towels, if that's perfectly all right.
Trust me, nobody wants to see that one. As long as it's maybe put a burqa on me, I'll be okay, but you don't want to see me in the buff, no, in the birthday suit. That would be a horror show in and of itself. But anyway, what a way to wrap up the show. Nicola, the time has flown by. As always, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I hope you have an absolutely splendid evening over in Melbourne. I still have an hour to go. I'm going to be joined by Karen Hunt from either Los Angeles or Arizona, depending on where she is right now. After the news, please don't go away. Locked and Loaded incoming.